Pakistan was bereft of any infrastructure or industry at the time of independence. Developmental work began on a mass scale. Pakistan was rapidly becoming a nation to be reckoned with. It was a stable nation with a rich culture and a booming economy. Comparable to the developed countries of today, Prime Minister Liaquat Ali Khan visited the United States in 1951, and Pakistan joined the free world. Pakistan became a frontline state in the wake of the U-2 episode. Pakistan played an important role in bringing the United States and China closer, which helped to end the Vietnam War. When Pakistan was in need of help and backing from the international community in 1971, it was ignored. In December 1979, the Soviet Union invaded Afghanistan. Pakistan played a pivotal role in blocking Soviet strategic designs. The federally administered tribal areas, commonly known as FATA, covering an area of 27,220 square kilometers, enjoyed a unique status as the locals relished sheer liberty as they were bound by their own code of conduct. Jihadis came here from all over the world and were trained with sophisticated weapons to launch their operations against the Soviets in Afghanistan. The 10-year war was devastating. Over 3 million Afghan refugees crowded in camps, as well as dispersing into other parts of the country. There was no infrastructure in place to take care of these refugees. And to add to Pakistan's woes, sectarianism, gun culture, and a booming trade in narcotics prevailed. The economy was the biggest casualty. As the growth rate dropped drastically, all development work was halted, adding to poverty and joblessness. Soviet Russia withdrew. As a result, the Berlin Wall was dismantled. At the same time, the Western powers left. There was no scheme to disarm, demobilize, and rehabilitate the Mujahideens. Now, the whole world is paying the price. After the Soviet withdrawal from Afghanistan, the refugees chose to stay in Pakistan. This burden was hard to bear with the absence of foreign financial assistance. Due to sanctions like the Pressler Amendment enacted in 1985. To add to Pakistan's woes, the refugee camps became safe havens for the militants and the hub for illegal activities. As the government was devising a corrective strategy, the Taliban seized power in Afghanistan, which gave an opportunity to Al-Qaeda to reassert. After 9/11, once again, Pakistan was compelled into war. The Taliban regime was pulverized in a matter of days, but the remnants of a Taliban and Al-Qaeda still posed a formidable challenge to world peace and security. Many of them crossed into tribal areas of Pakistan to escape bombardment. As restrictions were imposed on cross-border movement, the government deployed 150,000 troops in the porous and treacherous border stretching 2,650 kilometers. This move was challenged by the Taliban and their local sympathizers, who with the sophisticated weapons and modern technology entrenched themselves to fight with the security forces. In scores of military operations, several high-profile targets have been killed and captured. All this could not have been achieved without the supreme sacrifices rendered by the security forces. Up till now, thousands of soldiers have embraced Shahadat, while thousands injured, leaving behind bereaved families. The terrorist orchestrated numerous suicide attacks on the mainland, where many good people like Benazir Bhutto, the twice former prime minister, Maulana Hasan Jan, Maulana Sarfraz Naimi, renowned religious scholars, member of the Provincial Assembly of NWFP, Alamzab Khan, Lieutenant General Mushtaq Bey, hundreds of policemen and thousands of innocent civilians lost their lives. The whole of Pakistan was put under a state of high alert. A suicide bomber struck in many cities. The knock-on effects of Pakistan's economy has been loss of infrastructure, the dramatic decline in foreign investment, tourism, and even hosting sporting events. The total losses run into billions and billions of US dollars. The country is plunged into darkness several hours a day as the government is unable to meet the power requirement due to the expenditure on extraordinary security measures. The industry is closed, people are out of jobs, business is shrinking. Every bomb blast crashes the stock exchange, and even then, the resolve of the Pakistani people has not wavered. Islam spread in this region through Sufism, which teaches love, respect, and service to humanity. The Taliban contradicted this belief and imposed their own beliefs by targeting shrines of Sufis. The apathy of the world community to the happenings in Pakistan, combined with the typical social milieu of the tribal areas, helped insurgency sweep into Malakand Division. Efforts were made to bring peace through the process of development, dialogue, and deterrence. Peace agreement was signed with reconcilable militants, but before the ink on the agreement dried, the militants violated the agreement blatantly. The government of Pakistan decided to take effective measures against the miscreants and, in May 2009, ordered the army to take action by launching Operation Rahi Rast in Sawat. The miscreants and the local guides penetrated the local population and used them as human shields. Sorting and eliminating miscreants from local population was a cumbersome task, but the army took all possible measures to avoid collateral damage, but life came to a standstill. With the miscreants sneaking in their homes, the locals were too afraid to go out and carry out routine activities to earn their livelihood. With schools being burned, economic activity ceased. The life in Sawat came to a standstill. The land of beauty, splendor, and magnificence became a land of misery, lawlessness, and ruins. This resulted in the largest human crisis and displacement in recent times. Within a short span of time, the number of internally displaced persons reached over 3 million, which has been managed exceptionally well by Pakistan's Army's Special Support Group. Getting 3 million back to their hometown is a great achievement. The next phase of elimination was the base of Tehrik-e Taliban Pakistan and South Waziristan Agency. Every major incident of terrorism was traced back to South Waziristan Agency. Finally, Pakistan Army, on the direction of government, launched Operation Raheed Najat to wipe out the terrorist on 17 October 2009. Up until now, many terrorists have been killed and arrested. Their main stronghold have been wiped out. The seizure of weapons and ammunition from these areas clearly demonstrated the irrefutable presence of foreign hand and support to these terrorists. Soldier displayed courage and rendered supreme sacrifices. Terrorists in desperation are attacking innocent civilians and targeting bazaars, banks, and universities. The entire nation is backing the Pakistan Army, and peace will prevail. Evil forces will be defeated. This region has become a theater for holding proxy wars at the expense of Pakistan, and yet as a consequence, there is a blame game accusing Pakistan of harboring terrorists and not doing enough, when in fact Pakistan itself has become the victim. U.S. Secretary of State Mrs. Hillary Clinton said,
I mean, let's remember here, the people we are fighting today, we funded 20 years ago. And we did it because we were locked in this struggle with the Soviet Union. It was President Reagan in partnership with the Congress, led by Democrats.
Now, here is a requirement to adopt collective approach to fight the stateless, borderless enemy of humanity who wants to spread illiteracy and intolerance. In 1979, the U.S. Congressman Charlie Wilson appealed to the U.S. Senate to donate just $1 million for building of schools in tribal areas. His request was turned down, and sadly, illiteracy prevailed. Sowing the seeds of dissatisfaction, which created a vacuum for education, and the mushrooming of madrasas become a breeding ground for militancy and extremism. Police stations have been bombed. Hospitals have been attacked. Schools have been burnt. Places of worship have been targeted. In fact, Pakistan's way of life has been threatened. The peace, prosperity, religious freedom, social life, economic development, and all the pleasure and pride of our children has been snatched, leaving behind psychological scars, miseries, tears, and cries of anguish. The human and material losses of Pakistan are greater than any other country in the world. Billions and billions of dollars are required to rebuild the infrastructure with a Marshall Plan.
My books have been burned. My pen has been broken. My school has been torched. Oh, the protectors of human rights and justice, come on, stand by us. I am an honorable part of this global village. Help us, help yourself, protect us, protect yourself.
And that is the price of peace.